Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Nice to have you listening to Afternoons. It's a special day for space lovers. 12th of April is the International Day of Human Spaceflight, sometimes known as Yuri's Night. Yuri Gagarin was the first human to orbit the Earth. And space geek, I should hope, self-described space geek and visitor experience manager at Stardome Observatory, Ben Bradford, joins us now. Hi, Ben.
Kia ora, Jesse. How are you?
Are you comfortable with that term, or did my producer just write it in to describe you?
I don't know if it was self-described, but I'll take it. It's fine.
Is that Angie Skerritt writing Space Geek about one of our nice guests? Thanks, Angie. Well, why are you so passionate about space?
Look, it's just, you know, it's the forefront of all sort of human endeavour at this point in history. It really is the sort of the next frontier or the final frontier. And it's just an amazing sort of opportunity for humans to really put forward the best of us and sort of, work collaboratively across different countries and, across different cultures. And that really is sort of what the International Day of Human Spaceflight is all about. As you sort of said, it was picked for the date of Yuri Gagarin's first flight 63 years ago today. There's also another sort of link there as well. And by pure coincidence, 20 years later, it was also the first flight of the Space Shuttle Columbia, on the 12th of April 1981. That wasn't planned. That was purely by accident. It was due to take off a couple of days earlier, but there was a technical problem that delayed it. And so now we have the nice, clean and tidy 12th of April date to sort of celebrate human endeavour in space.
You mentioned international collaboration. Is collaboration increasing or decreasing as you look around the world?
That's a tough question. It's in flux because the International Space Station, which has really been at the forefront of that international collaboration, is coming to the end of its life. And so there's lots of conversations happening between NASA, the ESA, the Russian Roscosmos as well, the Russian Space Agency, talking about what comes next. There's new players as well. Japan are increasingly sort of and China are increasingly sort of upping their game in space. There's obviously all the private contractors that are sort of taking to space as well. So there's lots happening. What the future looks like in terms of that collaboration is sort of unclear at the moment. But our hope is, especially at Stardome, that we encourage people to be interested in it and sort of will people on to keep collaborating in space.
I guess it was simpler when it was only governments going into space and funding people going into space, people and things.
Yeah, a little bit, because obviously, yeah, that way it's sort of, as you say, it's sort of tightly controlled and regulated. But we're seeing collaboration between the private sector and the government sectors as well. So the next time that we go back to the moon, which isn't too far away, a couple of years away, that will be a partnership between private enterprise like SpaceX and NASA and a few other players as well. So, you know, it's sort of it's best of both worlds in that regard, that there is private enterprise sort of fueling that as well.
How big a deal was Yuri Gagarin's flight 63 years ago?
World-shattering. It was just the biggest thing that was happening. Obviously, we were in the midst of the space race and the Cold War, for context. He will forever have the the credit to be the first man in space or the first human in space. So, 63 years ago, 27-year-old Yuri Gagarin was strapped atop his Vostok 1 rocket. And very casually said, off we go, as he sort of blasted off. He crossed the Atlantic and the Pacific for a flight time of 108 minutes and was the first human ever to look back and see the Earth, like, in that way. And, to really put it into context, there's a good story about sort of how future-facing this really was. When he returned to Earth, he parachuted into a potato field in the middle of the Soviet Union. And there was a young 5-year-old girl and her grandmother that found him wandering around the field in his orange spacesuit and thought he was an alien, thought he was a spaceman. They weren't really sure where he had come from. So it really shows that sort of brave new world that we were heading into. It's a great story.
They hadn't heard about him on the internet.
No, they hadn't. And they asked him where he'd come from, and he said, "I've come from my ship." And the grandmother sort of said, "But there's no port near here, there's no sea near here." And it just still was such a sort of novel idea, to have come from the heavens.
And I'm guessing that lit a fire underneath the Americans.
Yep, definitely. And so the space race, you know, it was for a long time led by the Russians or by the Soviet Union, really right up until the moon landings in 1969, which is only, you know, a few years later. So the pace at which things were moving from the first space satellite, Sputnik, and then through the first manned space flight, and then to man landing on the moon, all happened in pretty quick succession, really, over a couple of years. So, yeah, it was a real kick-up for the Americans and, yeah, the acceleration that just went on from there.
And interesting, I mean, you and I talking earlier about collaboration, but actually competition seems to have been a pretty essential part of some of those milestones along the way.
Yeah, for sure. Thankfully, there was also a thawing as well. There was a point at which, you know, the Americans and the Russians, despite what was happening, you know, maybe geopolitically, were working together in space. And actually, that's something that has continued. Thankfully, despite things that are happening here down on Earth, the astronauts and cosmonauts involved do seem to be able to be a little bit more detached from that as they collaborate in space. And that's the hope that will continue. Yeah.
How important is space to New Zealand, and how important is New Zealand to space?
Increasingly so. We have a fortunate sort of position geographically on the globe that we have a lot of clear skies, we have a lot of dark skies. It's very important for astronomy. We're really lucky at Stardome that we're sort of seeing an uptake in people being interested in observing space, and the Matariki public holiday has really helped with that. People are getting really interested in a public holiday that's directly connected to the stars. But also, obviously, yeah, there are a few sort of things happening in our backyard with Rocket Lab, and increasingly more private enterprise sort of, you know, taking off from here because we have such clear skies and clear access to space.
What does the ideal future look like in space?
Oh, big question, Jesse. More collaboration. And I think the idea of going to space to make life better here on Earth, to borrow a slogan often used by another company, it is, you know, that's really what we all want to see. People ask us, why do we go to space, or why do we continue to go to space? Shouldn't we be focusing on the problems here on Earth? But space and the technology involved to go there, work there, live there, is really important to life on Earth. And, you know, it can help with everything from crop monitoring to, you know, better energy, more energy efficient solar panels. You know, there are all these kind of bright ideas about how we can really make life more sustainable on Earth by going to space. That's the end goal, I think.
Do you think you'll get to go to space one day, Ben?
Nah, I'm too frightened. That wouldn't be for me. I'm quite happy working on Earth.
Hang on a second. You're an ambassador for the Stardome Observatory.
I am, but my work is squarely centred in Earth's gravity, which I'm very happy about. Yeah, it wouldn't be for me.
Really?
Yeah, don't think
if,
so.
If someone called you up and said, hey, thanks for the great work you've done as an ambassador for space, we'd like to offer you a flight, you'd say no thanks.
I'd consider it. I'm really interested to see where, you know, space tourism ends up. I think that's the next sort of interesting thing. It might not be, you know, that you need to dedicate really most of your life to becoming an astronaut to go to space. It might get to a point where it is just like taking a commercial flight. That's the sort of end goal. And there's a lot happening in that space, obviously, with private companies. So, yeah, maybe if it gets to that kind of point, I'd be a little bit more interested.
Okay. You got some movies on at the Stardome Observatory at the moment.
We sure do. So we're there every night apart from Monday. But yep, in honour of the International Day of Human Spaceflight today, we've selected a couple of planetarium films that really sort of focus on human spaceflight and the achievements of humans in space. So we've got shows at 6:30, 7:45 and 9 o'clock tonight, which are Astronaut, Dawn of the Space Age and To Space and Back. And all three of those planetarium shows, focus on sort of human achievements in space. The Dawn of the Space Age has a big segment on Yuri Gagarin and his flight and is sort of like a potted history of the space race. And depending on what the weather's doing outside, obviously it's pretty blustery out there at the moment, but there might be some telescope viewing as well if the clouds clear.
Nice one. Real pleasure to have you on today. Thank you.
Thanks, Jesse.
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/news ad free. That's amazon.com/news-ad-free to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.